Something happened in one of our team meetings last month that I haven't been able to stop thinking about. The operations lead, someone who's been at this company for 18 years, asked a very simple question. She said, "Before we decide which jobs AI will affect, can someone just tell me what those jobs actually consist of?"
And that's not a stupid question.
It's the question. Everyone's racing to answer, "Will AI take this job?" before they've answered, "What does this job actually contain?"
Welcome to AI Week. I'm Theo.
And I'm Mara. We're both on the AI and automation team here, and this podcast is us thinking out loud about making AI work in a large, ordinary organization, not a tech company, a company that makes things people clean their houses with.
Today is episode one, and we're starting at the beginning. Before strategy, before adoption, before you deploy anything, there is a map, a literal, structured, publicly available map of what people do at work.
Two of them, actually.
Right. ONET and ESCO. And I want to be honest up front. I'd never heard of either of these before I started this job. I came from a software background. I thought job taxonomy sounded like a filing cabinet.
It is a filing cabinet. A very good one.
Turns out that matters. Okay, ONET first. What is it?
ONET stands for Occupational Information Network. It's maintained by the U.S. Department of Labor. It describes approximately 1,000 occupations, everything from surgeon to roofer to statistician to kindergarten teacher. And for each occupation, it has structured data on the tasks the person performs, the skills required, the knowledge needed, the work activities involved, and the context, physical demands, working conditions, level of autonomy.
So when you look up, say, a logistics analyst,
you don't just get moves things around. You get a list of specific tasks, things like analyze shipping or transportation routes to improve efficiency, or develop procedures for inventory management, or forecast and plan inventory requirements based on sales trends. Each of those tasks is a unit you can evaluate.
Evaluate for what?
For AI exposure. That's the key move. Instead of asking, will AI take the logistics analyst job, which is the wrong question, you ask task by task. Which of these 12 tasks is AI good at today? Which is it getting better at? Which requires the kind of judgment, physical presence, or relational trust that AI doesn't have?
And that gives you a much more honest answer.
It gives you a granular answer. The answer isn't this job is safe or this job is gone. The answer is 7 of these 12 tasks are being touched by AI right now, and the exposure is concentrated in the documentation and the forecasting, not the supplier relationships and the exception handling.
Which changes the conversation completely.
Completely. Because now you're not talking about whether Tom, our logistics analyst, has a job in 5 years. You're talking about which parts of Tom's day are going to change and what he should be thinking about. That's a useful conversation. The other one isn't.
Okay, so that's ONET, U.S. Department of Labor, roughly 1,000 occupations, task-level data. What's ESCO?
ESCO is the European equivalent, maintained by the European Commission. ESCO stands for European Skills, Competencies, Qualifications, and Occupations. It's larger, about 3,000 occupations compared to ONET's 1,000.
Three times the resolution.
More granular, yes. The European labor market has more officially recognized occupational distinctions. But the real difference is the skill side. ESCO has a skills taxonomy with about 13,800 skills.
13,800.
Grouped into categories. And critically, ESCO distinguishes between transversal skills, communication, problem solving, working with others, and occupation-specific knowledge and skills. The transversal ones are interesting because they're the ones AI currently finds hardest.
Because they're the things that are hard to define, hard to evaluate, hard to reproduce.
Right. And ESCO is machine readable. It's published as RDF, Resource Description Framework, which means you can query it as a knowledge graph. It has a public API. You can download the whole thing as a spreadsheet. It's genuinely usable.
We'll come back to the technical side in the deploy episodes. But for now, both of these exist. They're free. They're public. Why doesn't everybody use them?
That's a really good question, and I've been thinking about it since we started building our AI program. I think there are three reasons. First, they're both designed for labor economists and workforce planners, not for people doing AI adoption work. The interface isn't friendly. Second, they're American and European, respectively, and in practice, most organizations have their own internal job architectures, job families, grade bands, that don't map cleanly to either taxonomy. And third, people don't think they need them. They assume they already know what their people do.
Do they?
Managers know what they expect their people to do. They know the outcomes. They're often hazy on the actual tasks, and the tasks are where AI lands.
I want to ground this in something specific, because I think this is the point where it either becomes real or stays abstract. Can we take one occupation from ONET and walk through what it actually tells you?
Let's take HR specialist, ONET code 13 1071.00. This is someone who supports employees, implements HR policies, handles recruitment and onboarding. A generalist HR role. We have hundreds of these people across the company.
The kind of role where you'd expect some AI impact, but it's not obvious where.
Exactly. So Onet lists a set of core tasks for this occupation. I'm going to read some of them. Prepare or maintain employment records related to hiring, termination, leaves, and transfers. That's a documentation task. It's structured, rule-based, involves converting information from one form into another.
AI handles that today.
Very well. Next, inform job applicants of details such as duties, responsibilities, benefits, schedules, and working conditions. That's an information transfer task. The information is defined. The format is defined.
That's also AI today. A chatbot, a co-pilot agent answering HR queries from a knowledge base.
We actually built one of those. It's mostly working. Next task, conduct reference or background checks on job applicants. That involves initiating requests, tracking responses, synthesizing what you hear. AI can assist heavily.
Starting to sound like some jobs are under more pressure than others.
Now, listen to this one. Interview job applicants to select people meeting an organization's job requirements. That involves making a judgment about a person, a judgment you're accountable for, a judgment with legal implications if it goes wrong. AI can help you prepare. It can surface patterns. But the decision and the accountability for the decision is still human.
For now.
For now. And advise managers on policies such as equal employment opportunity and employee welfare. That's judgment under complexity. It requires knowing the policy, knowing the context, knowing the people, knowing what the organization can and can't do right now. That's a very different kind of task.
So even within one job title, you've got tasks that range from AI does this now to AI really can't do this in a way that matters.
And the proportion matters enormously. If 2 out of 12 tasks are high exposure and the other 10 aren't, the job is changing, but it's not under threat. If 8 out of 12 are, the conversation is different.
How do you actually run this in practice? If you're a line manager, an HR business partner, someone running an AI program, what does Onet mean in a real conversation?
The way we use it as a conversation starter, not a verdict. You don't walk into a meeting with a list of tasks and say, your job is 30% automated, congratulations. You use it to frame a different question. Of all the things you do in a week, which ones take the most time and feel the most mechanical? Which ones do you do because you have to, not because they need you specifically? And then you look at the Onet data and see if it matches the person's experience.
Does it?
Usually yes, with nuance. People know which parts of their job feel like filling in forms and which parts feel like actually using their head. The Onet data mostly confirms that intuition. What it adds is precision. It helps you have the conversation at the task level rather than at the role level.
And at the task level, the conversation is less frightening.
It's more honest, which is less frightening, yes. Will AI take your job is a terrifying question. Which of these 6 specific tasks could AI help with over the next 12 months is a useful one.
Let's talk about what you can do with this practically. If you're listening to this and you're in one of 3 situations, you're an executive thinking about where to invest, you're a practitioner trying to understand your own exposure, or you're someone building AI tools for an organization, what does this mean for you?
For the executive, the instinct when thinking about AI in jobs is to think in job titles. We have 800 customer service representatives. AI will affect customer service. That's true, but useless. Go one level down. Look at the Onet task list for your key roles. Identify where time is actually spent. Which tasks are high volume and routine versus low volume and judgment heavy? That's where the investment conversation gets interesting.
Because you might find that the high exposure tasks are 30% of the time, but 90% of the volume.
Exactly. Which means the opportunity is real, the disruption is bounded, and the conversation with your people can be honest about what's changing and what isn't.
For the practitioner, someone who's wondering about their own role.
Look yourself up. Seriously. Go to onetonline.org. Find your occupation or the nearest equivalent. Read the task list. Not the description at the top, that's a summary. The actual task list. Read each one and ask yourself, could a well-prompted AI assistant do a competent first draft of this task? If yes, that task will change. If no, and there are always some, notice why not. What does that task require that isn't available as an input to a system?
Is it physical presence, accountability, existing relationships, judgment about ambiguous situations?
Those are the valuable parts. And here's the thing. If you know which parts of your job are uniquely yours, you can lean into them. You can get better at the things that matter more as AI handles more of the things that matter less.
For the builder.
If you're building AI tools for an organization, Copilot Studio, custom agents, whatever, Onet and ESCO are free structured context. Before you design the tool, pull the Onet task list for the role you're building for. Your tool should map to specific tasks, not support HR. Help with the documentation tasks in the HR specialist profile, leaving the judgment tasks to the human. That framing changes what you build and how you evaluate it.
We'll come back to the builder angle in the deploy episodes, but I want to end on something you said earlier that I keep thinking about. The operations lead who asked, what do these jobs actually consist of?
Yes.
Did you answer her?
I sent her the Onet link for her team's key roles, and she came back 2 days later and said it was the most useful thing anyone had sent her since the AI program started, because it made the question specific.
Which is the whole point.
Onet and ESCO exist because someone decided that you can't have a useful conversation about work, about training, about pay, about automation, without first agreeing on what work actually is. They built a map. We should use it.
That's episode 1.
Next week, we're going deeper on the exposure question, what the research actually says about which tasks and which roles are most at risk, and why the famous 47% of jobs at risk number is both true and badly misunderstood.
We'll also be talking about how to build an AI business case that uses task-level data instead of headline statistics, which is the difference between a business case that lands and one that gets nodded at and forgotten.
If you want to follow along with the ONET data we mentioned, it's at onetonline.org. ESCO is at esco.ec.eu.eu. Both free, both worth an hour of your time.
Until next week.
Until next week.